Let's go ahead. We'll talk with John Kroll, former player at the University of Alabama. And we got him on. We talked to him, it seems like, a lot, usually right there around Father's Day. And he always shares a great message with us. John Kroll joins us via the telephone. John, I hope you're doing well. Welcome to Tuscaloosa, sir.
I am doing great. Appreciate you guys letting me be with y'all. I mean, I didn't know I was going to be with big dogs like Trent. I mean, you know, doggone.
It's always great talking with you.
How you been doing?
I've been doing great. How about yourself?
Oh, I got a bunch of kids, got grandkids. Hey, I wouldn't trade places with anybody I know.
Well, John, we're going to get your thoughts. I believe it's been about 6 or 7 months since we last spoke, so a lot of things happening in Tuscaloosa. We're going to get your thoughts, and we're going to ask you at the end, because you're a guy that travels around to different churches, and you share your message of hope, and you give a lot of motivation. But one of the ways that I think, as long as Trent and I have been doing radio, it seems like we always try to get you around Father's Day. So at the end, we'd like to ask you maybe to give us dads some advice, because we can always use a little push to become better fathers. And no doubt you have been a father to many kids in North Alabama, whether that's in the Etowah County area or that's down in Springville in the St. Clair area. So we're going to get you to do that in the final couple of minutes. But, John, let's go back and talk some football, something that you know a lot about. Winning 2 out of the 3 national titles here in Tuscaloosa, your thoughts?
I tell you what, Coach Saban, when you take about 60 seconds to watch him, you see that tenacious focus that all the great ones have. Either you got it or you don't. You can try to manufacture it. You can try to fake it. I've seen a lot of assistant coaches that have tried to pretend they've got that it factor. And Brody, even in the NFL, has told me about coaches that come in, and I mean, even at that level, pretending they know what they're doing or pretending to be focused or everything, and they don't have a clue. And obviously, Coach Saban has drawn a team around him, not just the player, but the team of coaches and staff, and that tenacious focus just bleeds down, and it does come from the top. And fortunately, I got a chance to, you know, play for a guy that had the same it factor with Coach Bryant, showing us that same tenacious focus that Coach Saban has.
John, can you be a player's coach and still be rough and tough? And I know Nick Saban expects a lot from his players, but Coach Bryant was that similar attitude. You guys respected him and no doubt knew when he walked in the room, but he was also a guy that also got very closely attached with the players. And I know you saw that during your career as well.
I tell you that you won't play for somebody that you know doesn't care about you, but you'll go fight in the gates of hell for someone you know does. And I think that, you know, speaking personally, you know, Coach Bryant was hard for sure. But when he said, I want y'all to come see me, well, I took him up on it. And I went to see him, and I told him about the ranch, and I told him about the kids I met and what I wanted to do and all the different things. And he just gave sound advice every time. And he and I rarely ever talk football. We talked about the different things that, you know, were important at that time. And I think that vision that he had, he gave to all of us. And we lost one regular season game in 3 years. So winning was just understood. We went into every game. It wasn't a matter of who we were playing. We just said, okay, how much are we going to win by? And that sounds arrogant, but that's not. That is just that mindset. Regrettably, you know, we lost that one. But, you know, that's all right. You know, a 3-year run, you know, 32-4, I can run with that.
Yeah, you also won a national title. Can you take what does that take to want it, to win a national title? And I know that's a simple question, but in the game of football, one fumble, one interception, and I know that you understand that playing on the defensive side of the ball, how important a fumble and a turnover is to the momentum of the game. But you look back and this past year, one mistake could have cost Alabama a chance and an opportunity to play January the 9th for the national title.
That's correct. Let's back up to 2 years ago, Tennessee, when they blocked a field goal. I mean, the list goes on of just those certain plays where certain players rose up. And the great ones do that. And that, I think, separates average from great. But that didn't just happen. Guys don't flip a switch. I mean, you do it in practice, you'll do it in the game. Very, very few people can just lollygag around in practice and then go out there and perform at top All-American level on Saturdays or NFL on Sundays. You got to work at it. You got to study. You got to know. You got to know the guy's weaknesses and tendencies. And I think that's one of the things that Coach Saban does such a great job with is those guys are prepared. And back to the national championship game, how mad he got when somebody made a mistake that was just a judgment mistake. I don't think he got mad because somebody was hustling. But when someone makes a judgment mistake, oh, no, it's not tolerable. And that will cost you games. And I'm going to bore you with a Coach Bryant story. But
before No. We love those.
We definitely do.
But before every ball game, he would look at us and he would say, they ain't going to be pushing, shoving, fighting. You know, we don't do that here at Alabama. We all understood that. And he said, remember this truth. In this ball game, there'll be four or five plays that will determine the outcome of the ball game. You do not know if you're going to be the hero or the goat, but these plays are coming. So you decide. You never know when they're coming, but rest assured they will come. If you stop and think about it, every game hinges on those four or five plays. Let's back up to 2 years ago when Auburn beat Alabama, and we were running the ball down and getting ready to score, and the ball got popped up and kicked out of bounds. It was, you know, a touchback instead of being out of bounds. I mean, if the ball bounced to the right, I don't think that game would have been any – I mean, it wouldn't even been close. It had been closed. But that play, that one play, was a backbreaker. And, of course, we were up high as far – but it gave momentum. And that the Big Mo is an animal that you got to fight. I do not believe in luck. But momentum, I do believe in. And some people, well, luck is momentum. No, it's not. Luck is just something that happens. Momentum is something you work hard to achieve.
I think one big thing that I've taken from just watching Coach Saban and hearing different things and then from listening to guys like yourself talk about Coach Bryant is how much of an impact they had on people's and still have on people's lives outside of football and the lessons that they teach outside of football. What are some of those main things that Coach Bryant that really stood out to you that he would share? Like you said, a lot of y'all's talks were outside of football, and I know he was real big on advice and living, you know, a respectable life. What are some of those things that really stood out to you that he said?
I tell you, I think one of the things that I picked up from him is you cannot respect your woman. You can't respect your children. You can't respect your coaches. You can't respect your parents till you respect yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And he was real big on about you act like a gentleman. You act like a man. You do the right thing. Obviously, he would always talk about writing your mamas and daddies, but he said that. And he was very, very emphatic about us taking care of family and keeping it close. And then that thing he would always do, you know, and people listening remember, yeah, I saw, you know, John Doe's mom and daddy at the ball game. I mean, he said that for two reasons. One, to acknowledge the player that he knew who he was. And number two, to make those parents happy they knew where their boy was. And he just had that unique gift. And Coach Saban has different strengths. They may not be that way, but I will allude over to about 3 years ago. I was with Coach Saban at a dinner, and the whole team was there. And I walked in, and I asked the lady, I said, how many alumni are here? She said, only about 30. I said, whoa, wait, this is the Jefferson County Alumni Association annual banquet. And they used to have hundreds. She said, not anymore. And I said, well, I said, Coach Saban has changed that. I said, okay, what'd he do? And she said, he brings in all the families of the players. He brings in their brothers, sisters, aunts, uncles, moms, and dads, so that then when they're here, those families see their sons honored by Coach Saban when he makes his postseason talk and gives them their SEC rings and get ready for hopefully another national championship game this year. And then they go back home and they say, hey, Billy. And Billy's a sophomore that's going to be a superstar in about 2 years. Hey, Billy, you know where you're going. You're going to Alabama, and here's why. And they influence Billy or whatever, and I don't call that influence in a negative way. I just mean that here's what our son's experiencing. If you want a part of that, come on. If not, then go somewhere else.